Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It really is grace to you today and to me. Today we celebrate grace, God's grace, grace alone. Today in that parable that you heard in the gospel, the parable of the laborers in the vineyard, God's grace is on display. How things work, not in this world, but in God's kingdom. Today the Holy Spirit teaches you about God's grace and calls on you to assess yourself. Are you working for wages from God, or are you relying on grace from God? It's either one or the other. There is no in between. You need to know the answer. If you're working for wages with God, then you will receive the true wages you deserve, which is everlasting death. If instead you're relying on grace from God, then the gift you will receive is eternal life. This parable of the workers in the vineyard bothers a lot of people. It's not how you would do things if you were a landowner or a business owner, an employer. You would never do this. Not in America, at least, especially if you're a staunch capitalist. You don't hire somebody to work all day and then hire other people throughout the day, some who only work an hour, and then pay everybody the same at the end of the day. You don't do that. And if you were an employee, the employee who worked the 12-hour day and then saw the ones who worked 1 hour getting the same wage as you at the end of the day, you would complain too. It's not right. It's not fair. Children, for you to understand this, think about if you were out in the hot summer sun pulling weeds all day, and your brother or sister came out for 5 minutes and did just a little bit of work, and then you all got the same allowance at the end of the day, $5 apiece. You wouldn't be happy. It's not fair. It's not right. And if you're working for wages, you're probably right to complain. If the deal is the deal and you're working the deal, it should be, as nature itself teaches us, as is imprinted in the moral fabric of our nature, the one who works harder gets more. The one who works harder and longer gets farther ahead than the one who doesn't work as long or as well. It's the nature of things. And if God's kingdom were a business in which God evaluates how hard you work, how long you work, the quality of your work, and then paid out the wages at the end of the day based on all of that, well, then you would still get the same as everybody else, because you would receive the wages of sin, which is death, and all have sinned. It's just that simple. If God's kingdom is a business where you work hard, or maybe not so hard, and you expect wages for your work at the end of the day, you will receive the wages of death, and so will everyone who works for wages with God. You could be the Apostle Paul, or the Apostle Peter, or Abraham, or Mary, the Mother of God. If you're waiting for wages, then you'll get wages paid in God's righteous wrath against your sin, and you will die forever. But see, Jesus says that God's kingdom is not like that. God's kingdom is a kingdom of grace, The word grace can be defined as the undeserved love that God shows. By definition, grace cannot be deserved, then grace cannot be merited. It is given freely. It is given abundantly. It is given equally to all through Christ, not apart from Christ. Grace comes through the means of grace, not apart from the means of grace. But to everyone who receives grace in the means of grace, to everyone who believes in the same Christ, grace is the same. Christ is the very throne of grace, who merited all grace for people, for all people, by his righteous life, his hard work in the vineyard, by his obedient death on the cross. He merited grace. We can't merit grace. He merited grace for us. He is the throne of grace, then, where God's anger is stilled, where God's generosity and mercy are on display all the time. So, where God pays out wages, where God looks at what you deserve, there is wrath and death. But where God hands out grace, where God looks at what Christ has deserved, there is forgiveness for sinners and life and every blessing. Those who approach God for wages, for repayment, relying on their hard work, they will die eternally. Those who approach God for grace, relying on Christ Jesus, they will live eternally. The Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 5, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God." Grace is where the Lord Jesus is. The Lord Jesus is here for you in the word that is proclaimed from this pulpit, in the absolution that is spoken in private. The Lord Jesus is here for you in baptism and is here for you over and over again in the Lord's Supper. Here is grace. Here is forgiveness. Here is where you receive from God's generosity, not where you offer him your goodness or where you tell him how deserving you are. Jesus says at the end of the parable, "The last will be first, and the first last." Here he comforts us and warns us too. The workers in the parable who were hired later in the day, the ones who were hired last, didn't work for wages. They didn't work out a deal with the landowner. They had no contract. They relied on his grace to give them what was right. And each one received his kindness and favor. Those who were hired first, who worked the hardest and relied on their work for their wages, they were not only paid last, but they were viewed as last by the landowner, who wanted his generosity, his grace to be praised, not complained about. With them, he was not well pleased, in spite of their full day's work. And that's not the first time that that happened. Where God was generous, and all the people could think about was their work, what they deserved. You could go all the way back to the Garden of Eden if you want. God's generosity in giving absolutely everything to man whom he created, and then man saying, "That's not enough. I deserve more. I deserve to be like God. I think I will take some of that fruit." But you heard it again in the Old Testament lesson today with the children of Israel in the wilderness, right after God had rescued them from slavery in Egypt through all those signs and wonders against Pharaoh and the Egyptians. And as soon as they got just a little bit thirsty and didn't see a ready supply of water, they complained. They were God's chosen people. They should have water right here, right now. They complained against Moses and complained against God. The children of Israel, the Jews, were the first to be chosen by God as his people to go and work in his vineyard, and immediately they trusted in what they deserved from God and got angry when they didn't get it. They were the first ones hired, but they became last because, as you heard Paul say again in 1 Corinthians 9, those same Jews, those same children of Israel who had the same grace of God offered to them as we have given to us in word and sacrament, the same baptism, the same promises. God was not pleased with most of them, and their bodies were scattered across the wilderness. What a way to end that epistle reading, you might have thought. But that's the point. They were the first ones hired, but because they worked for wages with God, their bodies were still scattered across the wilderness, dead by plague, or dead because God just didn't accept them into his promised land. Whom did he accept then? Those who were worthy, who were deserving? No, those who relied on his grace, who didn't deserve it, but simply relied on his generous promise to give it free. Now let's say you really were among the first. Not that you can go back and be the Jewish people, the people of Israel, called by God first before anyone else. But let's say you were an Apostle Peter or an Apostle Paul, an Abraham or a Mary, Mother of God. Let's say you grew up in the church, never left, never strayed to the right or to the left. If you're looking for wages, if you think God will reward you for the hard working and the saintly living you've done, then congratulations on being first. But know that the first will be last. Or, let's say you really were the chief of sinners and could think of no one in history worse than you. Of course, the Apostle Paul already claimed that title for himself, but let's say you are right there with him. Let's say you've spent your life absent from God's house, either never baptized and never serving God, or once baptized and then walked away from the faith, from the word, and from the people of God. Let's say you deserve all the fire in hell and the full wrath of God to be poured down on you. Nonetheless, there is one who has suffered the fire of hell and the full wrath of God for you, and who has deserved God's grace and favor for you, the one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. God gave his Son for sinners, for those who could never earn their way into his grace, not all the way, not most of the way, not part of the way. He gave his Son for sinners who can't earn God's grace at all, so that everyone who tries to earn his grace will lose it for sure, while everyone who trusts in Christ alone for grace will find it for sure. That doesn't mean that works are thrown out and Christians can go out and be lazy good-for-nothings. Grace does not mean that works don't matter. It means that works don't gain or merit God's favor or God's gifts. Works are thrown out when it comes to how sinners are justified. Works are not thrown out when it comes to the good of your neighbor. And so Christians wouldn't think of abandoning good works because our neighbor needs them. Our neighbor needs our kindness, our thoughtfulness, our consideration, and our help. He needs it all the time, whether you're driving on the road next to him or standing in line at the store next to him or working next to him or living next to him. Your neighbor always needs that from you. Your parents need your honor and respect, maybe your care. Your children need your tireless care and instruction and patience. Your friends need your encouragement, also your rebuke and correction, and your invitation to hear God's word here in God's house. Your spouse, well, your wife, if you're a husband, needs your selfless sacrifice all the time and commitment. Your husband, if you're a wife, needs your loving submission and care. Your neighbor needs you to honor marriage and God's institution of it between one man and one woman for life. Your neighbor, who is your employer, needs your faithful and diligent work. Your neighbor, who is your employee, needs you to be honorable and fair in the wages you pay. Your neighbor needs these things, and if you are a child of God, you will be diligent in serving your neighbor, not because you are working for wages from God, but because you are born of God, because you rely on God's grace to you. I translated stanza 8 of that hymn that we sang today, which wasn't in the Lutheran hymnal, because it says that so well. For faith it is that pleaseth God, but love will do thy neighbor good if thou art born of heaven. The first shall be last. That should frighten every saint. When you think you've done enough and surpassed enough other people to earn your reward with God, when you think you're successful enough to prove that God really is shining down on you and smiling upon you, when you think you've suffered so much that God just has to reward you with his grace and favor, then know that the first will be last. Repent. Abandon your works and return to Christ, the throne of grace. The last shall be first. That should comfort every sinner. No one is too last. There is no laster than last. No one is too lowly. No one is too bad, too evil. It's never too late in the game, too late in the day to receive God's mercy and grace. And the grace that is received last is the same as the grace that is received first. The kingdom of heaven is a kingdom of pure grace. And you are sons and daughters of this kingdom through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.